Blog Talk Radio.
This is Halim, the doctor of self-esteem. Listen, hold a second, please. Hold on. Good evening. This is Halim, the dream builder, doctor of self-esteem. Welcome to another session of Life Success Radio. We are going through a great, great transition, and it's really exciting for us that what we've been able to do with the help of our sponsor. So our sponsor is Reality Books, and which is the publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. Reality Book CEO and founder is the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, who was the founder and visionary leader of Tuskegee University. Now, before we begin, we would like to you to join us in prayer. I'm going to say it in Arabic and English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahir rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين Amen. Now I will say it in English, which gives you the understanding of those Arabic words that I said from the Quran, and I have that memorized in my heart. So here go the English words here. With the name of Allah, sorry, we seek refuge, I seek refuge with God from the accursed devil Satan. With the name of Allah, God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray in their duty and service to you, Almighty God. Amen. Again, this is Halim, the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. And this day's show, we're actually going to be doing monologue for the next couple of days here as we are transitioning to having our own program. And we really want to thank our sponsor. I can't thank him enough for the time spent in assisting me to learn the business here in terms of operating Blog Talk and being independent. And it's very important that people, young people, understand this more than anything, you eventually have to be independent, where you eventually have to get your own wings, and you eventually have to take on your own life responsibilities, and you eventually have to show the world that you understand that that one of us has to stand alone at some point. And that standing alone is certainly something that you've all been prepared for, like it or not, you have been prepared for it. Okay, so this opportunity here has put me in a position where now we're developing programs to get young people engaged in Blog Talk under Life Success Radio, where that you young people can influence your peers on the important behavior of how to be successful. Really critical, how to be successful. Now, we all know how to be failure or how to be a loser. Just don't do nothing. Sit around and don't do nothing, right? Sit around and talk about nothing. Sit around and just gossip about everything without doing something to help yourself. You definitely won't make no progress. So I want you to encourage yourself to do things like the great-grandson of, like Dr. Booker T. Washington, the founder of Tuskegee Institute. He took it up on himself, and he initiated his work to build a school that would help the future of black people, just coming out of, say, some of the after effects of slavery. Very difficult time for black people, but he made such a marvelous effort in raising or lifting the veil of ignorance off of the people. Now, the idea that he addressed economic independence as one core need, but he sequenced this in a comment that said, "At the bottom of education, at the bottom of politics, at the bottom of religion, there must be for blacks in America self-sufficiency." Self-sufficiency. And that was a plan way back in the times, like over 100-plus years when that institute was established, and it made some impacts. But today the job is not finished. And so we're really counting on you young people to take it on and do it in the way, in today's business and social climate, that will make sense for you under the ideas of self-sufficiency. You got to figure that out. Now, I believe it says something to the effect, a poem I recall, it's called Figure It Out Yourself, like Dr. Carver had, George Roger Carver had made, it's called Equipment. Equipment, he says, and I don't know exactly every word, but it talks about you have all the equipment that anybody else has. You have all the equipment, so you don't have to be having any doubt. See, because God has given you the equipment of your five senses and also some of your intuitive senses. And you can use all of that to tap into the energy source of the universe and make your inroads and make your contributions. Now, this morning, I had an epiphany this morning, and I was writing this yesterday, matter of fact, and this morning I got up and this really hit me loud and clear. Okay, now we have to find a way to get amped up, right? Amped up, right? And that's the word that we talk about. I'm not talking about amped up on anything of narcotics. I'm talking about amped up on your on life, right? What really makes you drive you? What makes you get up every morning? What makes you want to be successful? So you got to get amped up. Right, it's like a big game we're going to play, but it's not a game because life is too serious to be a game. But some people take it like a game, and you see them later on in life sitting on the sidelines while you, who have not taken it as a game, you're leading the charge, right? Because life, it seems like a game, but it's not. It's really serious. So amped up, as I say, I took the word amp and I made an acronym, and amp stands for accountability and action, and then M stands for marketing and management, and P stands for production, and prosperity. Now, the combination of each of those sequences, I was taught by a very wise advisor to me, who has a it's the professor. I'm gonna share with you the professor, who is a great grandson of the senior great grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. He actually shared with me ideas to see whether or not I had the propensity to engage, which is called you self-starter. Because if you are, for example, our leadership, you don't need to have your other people start you. You're supposed to be able to start your own engines. Ready, set, go. Start your own engines. It's time to go, right? So some people, they wake up in the morning, sleepy-eyed, unwashed face, excuse-making, I'm late to school, mommy didn't wake me up, daddy didn't wake me up, I didn't get a ride, the bus left me. All those things are excuses. They don't count. You can't have no excuse for success. You can have no excuse for failure, because you know that we look in the mirror, we find that we something we might have done. So under the system of APT, you would have, and first of all, you need to have accountability, and don't make promises that you don't follow through on. That's very critical. So accountability is number one. But know that you're accountable. They will go an extra mile for you. They will go an extra mile for you because you are accountable. So I'm going to show you, the person who's going to show you, that from you being accountable, I'm going to step to the table with you and walk down this journey a little bit and see what you do. Because I know what I've done, not me, but people who are like what we call them, senior wise teachers. See, they know the behavior of a person who's serious versus a person who's just curious. It's a difference. Because if you're just curious, you might just be playing around out of your curiosity, right? But if you're serious, you're really astute, and you're studying with focus to see what's happening with whatever scientific observation or humanitarian inclination of watching people, like you watch a, what you might say, I'll use this example here, watching people like an ant farm. You know, like you can watch people behave like from under a glass, or you know, under the ground in a glass cage or a glass case, where they actually, you can look down and see, well, this is an ant farm here. But see, in life, you just have to look around and just look at people and study people, observe, be quiet and listen, and you'll see the behavior of people. So that's very important, accountability and action, because action is that's going to make the difference. So, you know, you might have accountability, but if you don't have no action, you're missing something, right? With no action, there's no satisfaction. It's quite simple. Action is key. Action is key. But accountability is a must. People will trust you with accountability, and plus the action, they say, okay, you will. Let me step beside you. Let's march on down this road. Now, marketing and management is two very critical areas in every business. Marketing, for example, is planning strategies, right, to get your name out there or get your business out there, you know, make people remember you for good things, not for bad things now. Now, people have good memories for you if you've done something bad. They remember that for the rest of their life. Well, I remember so-and-so were doing all that stuff, selling all that drugs, drinking all that alcohol, and acting like a thug, and blah, 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 all your life. Even if you change, reputations don't still stick with you. So the idea of marketing, market the things that you're going to do positively, not the things that you do vicariously from all the negative TV shows that show certain people shaking rumps without responsibility. partying like it's 1999 in the past. And yet now you're still doing 1999 partying. This is 2017, getting ready to be 2018, coming up in another 2 months. So you better be marketing something good and learn to listen to your advisors, because they're going to give you good advice. And I should say this. Everybody needs a teacher. Everybody needs an advisor. Everybody needs a consultant. And that, under whatever title that I just given you, those are people who care for you. So those that care for you will give you wise advice. And it's up to you to make the decision whether to listen or not. Not going to be anything that you should be afraid of, because sometimes in business or sometimes in life, a lot of things are not mysteriously accomplished. It's a methodical plan, and that methodical plan, you have to engage yourself in it to really understand the dynamics of how your intuition will tie to the spiritual reality of this universe and cause things to start to happen beyond your imagination. But you just can't give up and say, oh, well, what is that? What is that? Don't keep questioning. Please just say, thank you for the ride, God, and keep rolling, you know, keep it moving, right? So the idea of marketing and then management, now you want to manage things where you can start to see them in terms of names that you get, phone numbers that you organize, people that you know. You want to put all of that in the system, put it in a book or a ledger or a computer, but keep it somewhat in a structured record with numbers as detailed as you can, with emails as detailed as you can. Be very aware. Don't make mistakes in your entries, because one mistake might cost you a big opportunity. And I'll give you an example of what I'm saying. I had this young man that I was working with for about maybe 6 months here in Texas. And I had the other day I was in a location business, and there was this guy that I spoke to, and he was actually a legacy funder, right? So I told this young man that I was working with, I said, would you please get his number and email and get it to me? Because I'm testing the young man to see whether or not he has a business mind to follow instructions. Now, he was so lackadaisical, he really didn't even get the right information. But by the time I got back, the man was gone. Information I tried to respond with was not accurate. So I said to myself, okay, this person is really not focused, not serious. And I personally, you know, I'm not here to really kind of waste my time with people who don't really get serious with their time. So I said, since you won't waste my time, that's what I told him today. I said, I appreciate what they've done in the past, but right now you're not focused and I don't have time. So see me in about 10 years when you grow up. Because the thing that he did, he caused not only me, but the future of young people that I work with to might lose the opportunity that we were planning from legacy funding. So point well is this. I have to sometimes, you know, life is not a bowl of cherries, even though some people like to believe it is. But it is a situation where you have to do difficult things and make difficult decisions. So a lot of what you're doing, as you get amped up, which is, as I mentioned, accountability, action, marketing, and management, production, and prosperity, you at some point you have to make decisions. And you also have to be determined. And even if no one else is with you, don't you let that discourage you from getting out there and doing something. See, because you go out there and do something, somebody's going to be watching, and they say, hey, how can I help you? And I'm going to give you a different kind of metaphor. This metaphor is tied to something that I learned about stone soup. I had read something that there was these travelers, and they had came into a city, a town, and they were hungry, right? And the town, seeing them coming, they says, hey, hide your food. Everybody hide your food. These strangers are coming in town. And so they got in town, and they started to say, okay, well, there's nobody's out here. We don't see nobody in the streets. Hey, well, let's get this pot of water and boil this water. And then they put five stones in that soup. And people were looking curiously, and they came out and said, "What are you putting stones in the soup for?" I said, "Well, you know, this is a stone soup. It's called stone soup." And I said, "Wow, what if we had some carrots to go along with this? And if we had some greens and some onions and some meat or something like that, it would be a really, really good soup." And so people started volunteering. "Yeah, I got some of this, I got some of this, got some of this, got some of this." So at the end of the whole situation, the stone soup was actually cooked in terms of people contributing, putting their part in. The lesson is that we all can add in, we can chip in something. We can chip in some time, we can chip in some thoughts, we can chip in location to meet at or whatever. But stone soup is a collective effort. And today, more than any time, I know, and I say this a lot, Black people need to be more oriented to helping themselves. Okay, this happened, about 3 days ago. I was at a local Starbucks. Well, I don't like saying company's name, but I was at a local coffee shop. And this elderly white guy, who's about 20 years older than myself, he actually is native here in Texas and a former teacher, retired. And he tells me that he observed a lot of people coming up. And he had this one Black youth friend that when he grew up, he was 10 years old. And it was the first friend he had really had. It was a young Black child, 10 years old, and he was 10 himself. And he said that the 10-year-old kid, his mother worked for his family. And so his mother was sick, and the lady was a maid servant in the house. She was taking care of him and his mother. So she made him lunch, and him being a good-natured kid, said, "Why don't you sit down and have some lunch? Are you hungry?" And he said that she refused to eat, but he saw on her face something that said that she was hungry, but she just couldn't say yes. And so later in life, he realized what was going on, and he told me that racism was so bad that Black people would come to work and they really couldn't eat. They had to work all the time in the house for the masters. And so so he realized that slavery and what it done is really a shame against people, especially his friend, was his best friend, he tells me. And so lesson to be learned. Now, okay, I'm going to take a step on this. Okay, so he tells me, he said, he said, "One of the things wrong with Black people is religion." I said, "Okay, it's going somewhere here." He said, "Well, yeah. He says, religion, Black people are sitting around waiting for something to happen as they believe that God's going to make something happen." This is what he said to me. I was like shocked. And his name is Harry. His name is Harry, all right? He says that that's the worst thing for Black people, because it's making them sit down and wait on Jesus, and that's not happening. He said he was taught, and he's not religious, but he's spiritual. He was always taught, because his father couldn't read, he was illiterate, but he always showed him the importance of working. And so the idea, he said, that Black people don't want to work for nothing. They want a handout. And when he thought, when I listened to this man talk, I'm saying, well, is he being cynical or he's being truthful? And he's being truthful, because Black people have been so conditioned to not want to do anything aside from begging from the crumbs from the master's table. And that's been a historical thing that's really affected us as a people collectively. And it has imbued our young people with the ideas that we should beg and not work for what we want. We should beg for what we need and not work for what we want. Oh, that's crazy. Beg for what we need and not work for what we want. That's a shame. So he was telling me that the church is handicapping the Black community. And I'm a Muslim, and I just like, okay, I that's something I do understand. And I'm going to say this. I think it's important that everybody realize that there's a Dr. Frances Kress Welsing, who is no longer here. I think she died about a year ago, and she was actually a medical doctor by profession. Her father was a doctor, and her grandfather was a doctor, and she was the third in the family to become a doctor. And then she became a clinical psychologist at, out of Washington, D.C. That's where she was based at. And in her becoming a clinical psychologist, she ran across a behavior that she studied and saw in black people that showed her there was an inferiority complex embedded in the mind of black people. And in her studying and comparing, she finally ran into someone, I don't know the name, but he kind of shared with her the idea, and she mentions this on the YouTube. Her name, Dr. Frances Quest Welsing, she says that the man told her that racism and white supremacy is a systemic system. It's a system of behavior that is reinforced by those people who consider themselves white. Now, I said those people who consider themselves white. Because not only do we have white people who uphold the standards of white supremacy and racism, we have black people who as well defend the system of racism and white supremacy, because they make arguments against some of the logical kind of observations that black people are really lazy, but they've given no answer as to why they're lazy. See, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, she peeped the game. She broke the code. So when you think about it, all you got to do is tell anyone who's a Negro, that's a slave made into a Oreo. Oh my! I used to like Oreo cookies. I don't like them no more, though. Okay, but it makes me think about the Oreo of black people. You know, we always, you know, Uncle Tom and on our brothers about, you know, hey, they planning a freedom run, and they're gonna go and do something socially different than what you've been doing, Master. And we with you, Master. You know, I think Malcolm even talked about the Master. The house is on fire. Is our we on fire, oh, Master? No, we sick, Master. Is we sick? And you know, so I'm just saying to you, black people, we have to wake up and get ourselves unwrapped from the slavery minds. And because of the young people, they're looking at it. And that's the thing that really perplexes me. How can I, as a father, a grandfather, allow my son, children, daughter, grandchildren, nephews, and so forth to grow up in an inferior world with inferiority complexes, that they look at themselves as below average, and they look at people who have you know, white as a and I'm gonna say this correctly, white people are really not white people, they're really pink people, but you know, we have kind of taken that to say white people because of what is, I think they're albino, they're really albino, and they don't have the melanin in their skin. That's why they're albino. And historically, in the process of breeding or interbreeding themselves as what albinos, eventually they came out to look like current white people all over the world. And so, you know, over a period of time, the features changed from looking at a pure albino to where now you have a mix of bloodline where they have, the albinos have sought to get people of color to become a part of a sexual encounter for producing babies that will be kind of like sorted out and tempered in and blended in and all these things to create some melanin skin. Because that is what's the difference of an albino and a non-albino. And so Dr. Frances Cress Welsing talked about this in a very profound way. And she had Mr. Shockley from Stanford University, who was not even a genetics engineer or scientist. He was talking that black people were super, super inferior to white people because of their lack of intelligence. So he said that as his premise, right? But in the discussion with Dr. Francis Cress Welsing on a Tony Brown's News Journal television interview or discussion or debate, Mr. Shockley, he was able to get the, his put his foot in his own mouth, and he got his butt kicked. But Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, she was ready, and all she was very casually cool, but he was like, you know, you could see he was getting heated up. And you can watch on YouTube, you know, Francis Cress Welsing and Shockley, Stanford University debate Tony Brown's News Journal. But the point is that there are people today who are not looking at the bigger picture. All right, now I admit I don't have no hate for anyone, right? I just have a hate for behavior of people. I don't hate anyone based on color, because if you look at me and I share the story. And this happened about maybe 2 days ago, 3 days ago. I was on the bus coming here, in Texas, already here. I was coming from, I was on a Sunday, and I was coming to my home, and there was this white guy on the bus, and I began talking, and I asked him a question about what color was I, and what color was him, and what color was this black guy who was sitting next to me. And I then explained to them that really we are colorless people, and I gave the description that if we were made from light particles, as God says, let there be light, and the particles that we talk about are really little atom molecules that that actually are protons and neutrons, and they hit each other, colliding and causing sparks of fire, but you can't see it, but they're really little explosions, almost like nuclear bombs, but you really can't see it. So I said to him, that's what we were made of. So culturally, I know that what you told me that you are, you know, I myself have Spanish, I'm Indian, Cherokee, I have a mix, some white in the Irish, and the one more color, but that's okay, it's not important. But I said, so the cultural in me, you do know. But now the real me, can you tell me what color that is? And he was really perplexed. So I said, okay, what color is electricity? And he didn't know. He says, well, something like blue or something like that. I said, no, it's invisible. It's invisible. And so I says, what color is love? And it's invisible. What color is the atom molecules that are in the air right now that we can't see, but they're colliding all over? What color are they? He didn't know. I told him they are invisible. I said, so they're colorless. That's invisible. And so when I look at you, I look at me, I see your soul, and your soul is colorless, so you are a colorless man. He started crying. And it blew my mind. I said, wow. All I was sharing with him was some simple, basic logic, 101, about what I experienced myself in assessing people as not a color. Now, I have some help along the way. And there's a man named Imam Worthy Muhammad who certainly had insight on these things. And so somehow I was able to retain some knowledge to some degree, but I also was able to do some own research to kind of find ways to better explain things. Because, you know, what one man can do, another man can do. What one woman can do, another woman, another man, another woman. What I'm saying is that one mind is like, you know, we all are minds, so whatever one mind can do, another mind can do, and another mind can do it better. So don't think because you think you're the only one that that's done something that no one else can supersede you. And that brings me to this commercial, okay? This is sponsored by, this is Life Success Radio. My name is Helene the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, and we are here in our studios here in Houston, Texas. We're being sponsored by Reality Books, the publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. And the publisher is the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, founder of Tuskegee. Now, I want to mention the book itself is not necessarily just a historical record, but it's actually a template for success, if you think about it. It actually shows what, you know, things have worked and how, you know, they can work again just by implementing them. And, again, people have really gotten lazy now. They don't want to take an effort to do nothing that's going to not be given to them on a silver platter. Everybody's getting lazy. Are you lazy out there? Are you giving up hope? You think that the world's ending? Well, that's not your job to even think like that. That's God's business. Your business is to keep living, okay? But you can't really start making predictions that you can outthink God because, God has a reality that's beyond our understanding. And when you start to realize that this whole universe is alive and things be happening and you just trying to figure out, why that happened, why that happened, why that happened, the simple thing is that God is in control, not you. And I wish that we could help our President Donald Trump get to that understanding. Because, this is embarrassing. The man is still out there mobilizing around ignorance. And him and Young Chong, Korean guy, I don't know how to say his name. But, oh, God, these guys are really comical, but they're very serious about doing some stupid stuff, you know? But we can't let the stupid stuff supersede us in our responsibility by following these fools. I don't care, president or dictator or whatever they claim to be. I would just look at him as a fool, right? And you have to not let a fool lead you too long, otherwise you become the joker or the joke's on you. And you the joker, and now do what I do, because I'm the fool. Well, you the joker, the joke's on you, do what I do. It's a cyclic cycle of ignorance. And that's the problem with this country today. That's the problem with the education system today. Everybody's stuck on this joker behavior. Everything is so fun, so funny. Nobody never gets focused on taking care of serious business because life is not a joke, and everything in life, it works on a serious principle. You see this in the animal kingdom. You see it how the animals themselves, they play fight just to get strength. You know, when some of your family, you wrestle with your bigger brother, your sister, or whatever, and you can get strength and you know how to flip them, you know how to, know how to not get choked out or whatever. So that is preparing you for eventuality that you might have to defend yourself. Now, you don't want to be a bully and just start bullying folks. You want to defend yourself in the event it becomes a necessity. But you always know that life is a serious situation. It's not a joke. It's not a play pin that you just kind of take things by nonchalantly with no responsibility. Because whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you say, it comes back to you in a very, very strange way. It's called karma, okay? Now, karma rules. It's a shame, but it does. It's a natural law. What you reap, so shall you sow. Or what you sow, so shall you reap. There we go. What you sow, so shall you reap. So today, America, you have sowed a lot of racism in this country, America. Matter of fact, I would make a suggestion to you if you want to really correct yourself. Black people, we've been here long enough to be permanent citizens. Could you please, some of you smart politicians and some of you spiritual leaders who understand that that the voting rights is something that needs to be a permanent situation, because it makes me an alien. It makes me like this country is not mine. But listen, we built this country, and we want it to see it prosper because God put us here for a reason, not to be a slave to you only because you think that we are supposed to be that destination from the storytells and lies that's been put in the Bible talking about is that Noah and his son, I guess it was Cain. No, was it Cain? No, let me see. It was three sons. And so the daddy got drunk, Noah. That's what the Bible said. I don't believe that he got drunk personally. But anyway, he got drunk and his sons came in two of the sons came in and they covered his nakedness up and his other son laughed. And then all of a sudden that became the situation where, and they say that is a black person. I can't think of the name right now, but that's what they say. They said, oh, I was a black guy. But they probably say N-I-G-G-E-R. That's what they think. So therefore they justify that black people were to be, for them, permanent slaves, right? My mind in terms of targeting whom his name was, I'm I'm not pulling it out of my brain cell right now, but the point is that I think it was Noah, Ham. There we go, Ham. Why do you got to call him Ham? You know I don't eat pork. I'm a Muslim, man. Come on, get that ham out of my face, man. All right, but why you got to call him Ham? Was that his real name? I don't know. Another, were the others? No, they weren't Cain and Abel. They were any of that. You'll get it eventually, but just know this, that Noah had no power to curse his son. That's like you cursing somebody, and you don't have the power to make no curse happen. All you're doing is saying a curse word, and so that's what probably Noah did if that was the case. Just use some common sense. Don't use the idea that he can curse, like God can curse you and God can curse me for not doing what's right, and that's where we're at right now. This brings it to mind here. Okay, do you remember Nelson Mandela by chance? Oh, Nelson Mandela. Okay, I know that this racist system in South Africa, wow, it's deep, right? Because I was watching a movie recently, and this people in South Africa, they had a very sophisticated race system, right? And I believe myself personally, if there's another race system in this world that's worse than South Africa, man, it must be terribly bad. Uh-oh, I just thought of something. Okay, this is it. All right, now, okay. Before I say this, let me just give a pre-qualifier. In Israel, they have a racism against the Palestinians, and that's the Palestinians' original land. But the Jews somehow were given that land by force militarily to make them have a space in the region to intercede and be a representative, a defensive representative, a counterintelligence to the Arabs in the region. And so they think that they are the Semitic people. And they say that anytime you say Semitic, you're talking about Jews. That's not true, guys. Don't even think like that. Because Semitic is like semi. It's like semi-chocolate, semi-black, semi-white. You're all mixed up, right? So you can't say that you're the only Semitic because you look at me, I'm Semitic, and you look at my history of black people. We used to be darker than oil. Now we like brown, and then we come out even white like you because the people been jumping the fence. So Semitic doesn't belong to you. You can't take claim on that, right? But let me go to the worst slavery system, I believe, on the planet. And if you think there's a different slavery system that's worse than what this one is, then you need to call me and let me know. And I'm going to give you my phone number because I want to know the answer. My phone number for record is area code 650-921-5131, 650-921-5131, and you let me know. Now, what I believe the worst slave system in the world is America, because for 400 years plus, you have taken families and broken them apart, beat down the men, don't look at me in the eyes. If you look in the eyes, I'll beat you down. Put fear in them so strong that today, you know, the fear is so strong there that black people just don't even have the courage right now to fend off a mosquito. And so they kind of like, I'm not a Negro, so I'm just like, no, you hit me, I'm gonna hit you. I don't care who you is, you hit me, I'm hitting back, right? That's what I think it says. Slap this cheek, I'll turn that cheek. I don't do that. That's a fool. Common sense say, you hit me, I'm hitting back. That's just how it goes. But black people have been so conditioned from American slavery that we have become so docile that docility is now our disposition. So everybody can tell us what to do. We say, yasam, 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 yasam. We be begging. Yasam. My grandmother told me never beg. Stand up. Be a man. Hold your own. Right, be ready to kick somebody's butt if they attack you. Be ready to die if you have to, but be ready to kill if you need to. That's what they told me. Now, I think that's just natural survival, right? But America, you have to change, and you got to make the voting rights permanent so African-American blacks can feel and know that we are a citizens of this great land because we built this land in terms of our free labor. Right, but if we don't have voting rights, And every, say, 20 years or 10 years, whatever cycle that is on, we got to go back to the voting table and ask for voting rights over again. What you're telling me and you're telling us that we are not permanent citizens. We only like welfare recipients, welfare recipients of your crumbs from your table, right? Now, I don't know about some of you out there, but I'm tired of eating crumbs, right? So it's time for us to unite and make some bread with the crumbs that we have. So that means that we have to collaborate ourselves together and start doing something collaboratively so we can build up economic wealth structures that will be able to create the circle of influence that would allow us to grow into an independent cultural group or community, or et cetera. And that brings me to another thing here. I'm always coming to different thresholds, okay? When you start talking, one thing leads to another, and it's just really important that you keep talking because something's going to come from you talking. So I guess what it is that I'm looking at is that we have a group that I'm heading. It's called the Urban Business Counseling Network. It's an LLC that I've locked down. And it's actually a system that has a, we call it a rethink think tank. And it has, I guess, eight steps or organizing points and discussion points. And there's like mental, mechanical, engineering fusion. That's phase one. And then there's teamwork. Then there's intelligence. Sorry, leadership, teamwork, intelligence, and communication. Leadership, teamwork, intelligence, and communication, and the eight of them together creates this system that would allow us to approach and start dismantling gentrification in terms of what it really means. It's renewing based upon other people's interests, but in our case, gentrification means taking us out of the hood, So we want to flip that script and create a new kind of understanding that you can't come and take our community because you got more money than us. We have just as much right to being alive in America. We have much less right to the Voting Rights Act. We have all these rights, and we got to start standing up for our rights. So, a part of the think tank that I just mentioned. Our goal or our mission is to build resourceful opportunities for blacks, inner city family prosperity. The mission is to build resourceful opportunities for black inner city family prosperity. Okay, and the goal is to establish local community wellness entrepreneurship centers to provide business services, consultation, and financial resources to build prosperity wealth for black inner city families, right? And the objective is to develop individual and collective wealth through planning, promotions, and prosperity team building strategies to achieve self-sufficiency. Now, I don't know why that is so difficult for black people to want to do something for ourselves. Again, babies, they want to say, "Ma, I can feed myself, mommy," or "I can dress myself, mommy." So there's always that push from young people demonstrating, hey, they have a desire to do something for themselves. So you have no excuse to keep begging for something that you don't necessarily need, but you're begging because you've just been conditioned to beg, beg, beg. That's all you can do because you have accepted the lie that you are inferior. So being inferior, you let other people come to feed you. You don't go help your young people. They end up in jail. They end up with no voice in the future. They're kind of like walking dead in our communities, and you're doing nothing but just, yourself going out to a restaurant in the white people's community, and then you're coming back in the black community, and then you say, "Oh, look at all these black people." But what do you think you are when you go to the white community? They call you something different. They call you N-I-G-G-E-R. Bet you money. Bet you money. Right? So, in any event, under the National Management Consultant Advisors for the Urban Business Consulting Networks, we have titles that the leadership nationally in different states and so forth will organize under these seven titles. One is ergonomic system design, which we call master master strategic planners. So all of them are master strategic planners, and but the connector is like ergonomic system design, master strategic planners. Then you have health and wellness design, right? Master success planners, and you, so forth like that. So we have social media design, we have self-esteem design, urban planning and investment, legal rights, and the last one is, wow, this is serious here, man. It's called real estate and insurance, because that's what's missing. Black people today, banks too, banks as well. Right, black people don't have banks in our communities. Real estate companies are all outside with, you know, all these corporate images, REMAX and Century 21 and all this. And then we have, like, insurance companies, Aetna and other folks, insurance companies, that really have no interest in doing anything for us except they're taking our money and we keep being fools. Right? So, but I won't go there. Let me just step back down here and just kind of cut this machine down a little bit here. So here goes. So the National Management System Consultants, for the entity I mentioned, there's a counterpart of the part of them which becomes consultants and advisors all across the country who are representative interest areas, which I mentioned are ergonomic system design, health and wellness design, social media design, self-esteem design, urban planning and investment contribution, and legal, with real estate and insurance, right? Consultants. So we have to start taking control of our own destiny. And when I said that, a song came to mind by Bobby Brown. He said, "If it's up to us, we got to take control." Oh, that's a beautiful song, Bobby Brown. And that's a song that I think they had a song out of Ghostbusters, and it was like After 7. But if you get a chance, tune into that. And this brings me to another point. Hold on a second. This show is brought to you by Life Success Radio, is brought to you by Reality Books, a publisher of the Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, and that book is about a $20 book or $25. You can actually order it online and so forth. But the book is actually a blueprint to the future, not the past, because it's going to show you some things in the past that would always lead into the future, but it will stop, you know, momentarily, because people got jealous of Booker T. Washington and they killed him, right? And I understand there's black people that did it. Wow, black people killed a black man. That's crazy, but it's happening today. Black people in the streets killing black lives. They say black lives matter. Black folks shooting black folks. Okay, if it matters, stop shooting each other. If you hate somebody, just tell the devil get out your way. Because you look in the mirror, we hating ourselves, really, because we think about the thing. See, the devil gets inside of all of us, and pretty soon we mad at white people for no reason. See, I'm gonna be fair and honest. White people are white people. They're not racist. They're not, and you're not either, black people. But sometimes the stereotypes. Stereotypical, perception makes people think that we're all a racist, but that's not true. That's not true. So if we can please, as a group, make a united stand, say no more will we be divided, because that is the work of the devil. Divide and conquer, conquer and divide, and pretty soon we all are crying because we have no life. So what are we going to do? We're going to come together as human beings, and we're going to forgive each other. Say, listen, if there's something I said, if something I've done, would you please forgive me? And I said, likewise, ditto, can you do the same? Because I called you all kind of names before, and you called me all kind of names before. But we've grown up because we know that these names are going to affect our children's behavior, and they're going to be enemies of each other, and they didn't really do anything to each other. So when are we going to break this cyclic cycle of racism? That's what we got to do. We got to break the cycle of racism. I'm going to say that again. Break the cyclic cycle of racism, you psycho. Anybody who's racist is a psycho. I'm telling you, there's no way you could be racist and be a human being. Okay, so here's another lesson. Excuse me, folks, I got a cough. Okay, so here goes the lesson, and I think I better speed this up because I'm running out of time here too. I just thought about that. This is not a 2-hour show, but even, I want to just go over focus real quickly. Focus is the majestic thought. Focus is the majestic thought. So focus stands for format structures and finance, and you have to format structures and finalize them as a first step to focus. You have to plan objectives for operations in order to focus. You have to calculate costs and create products, businesses, etc., to focus. You got to unleash your new universe of reality if you're going to focus. And you have to be success through stealth. You got to use success in a stealth mode because, trust me, the haters will come to your aid real quickly when they see you being successful. They will say, "Hey, man, remember I was there with you? With her? Hey, remember? Hey, I was there, man. I helped you, didn't I? I gave you a peanut butter sandwich or I did something for you, man. You remember I gave you the weed, I gave you the alcohol, man. Remember that, man?" Oh, man, come on, man. That's the past, brother. If I did it, I was just stupid like you, man. But listen, let's grow up and let's start all over. Now, if you want the opportunity with me, just say opportunity and fill out this application, and I'll consider it. But you just ain't going Bogart here. Okay, so here, I want to say this song here. My name is Dr. Haleem Mustafa. I'm Haleem the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. And I'm here with an opportunity that was extended to me by the great grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, the things that he sponsored, Life Success Radio, and we've made some good impacts. And so soon we'll have our own radio program show. So I'm going to say this song here that I wrote in 1981, I believe. It says, "I tried to be a star." I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to recite it. I tried to be a star. I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, "Man, you ain't." After years of struggle and taking double, I finally came to realize I needed something more. I turned to heaven, I prayed, the Creator opened up the door. The first thing he did was to make me strong, and now I know that I belong on earth so I can give a little more. That's why he opened up the door. It's peace on us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth, he made the sun, he made us all to grow as one. We got to save our children, tell the truth. We got to save our children, tell the truth. We got to save our children, tell the truth. The youth I created is one. God bless you. Assalamu alaikum.